This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0 and part of the Community Waikato podcast series. You're listening to Roseanne Murray, and I have with me in the studio today Sarah Verrin from Brain Tumor Support Trust. Welcome, Sarah.
Kia ora, Roseanne. Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, no, it's our pleasure having you with us today. Great to be able to have a chat, especially as it is Brain Tumor Awareness Month. Maybe firstly we'll start off with a little bit about who is Brain Tumor Support Trust and also your role.
Absolutely. So Brain Tumor Support New Zealand was kind of born out of a gap, I guess. There was, you know, a bit of a painful silence in the health and support system where people and families living with a brain tumour should have found help and answers and understanding, but didn't have access to that. So we began as a grassroots initiative, a small group of patients, carers, clinicians and passionate advocates determined to ensure that no one walks this path in isolation. We've since grown into a national organisation providing practical support, information and most importantly, community. Brain tumours are rare, they're complex and deeply life-altering. They attack the very essence of who we are, you know, our emotions, our relationships, our physical and mental well-being. Yet they receive a fraction of the attention, very little research funding and structured care of other cancers. So Brain Tumor Support New Zealand exists to bridge that gap, to advocate, to connect and to support. So, you know, in New Zealand there are about 1,500 people living with a brain tumour and about 450 new people diagnosed with a tumour every year. In the past 12 months we've supported over 400 of these people through the navigation of wraparound support services, our online support groups, our peer-to-peer support groups and of course our brain boxes, which is a cherished and very much core first point of contact for most people that come into our, you know, into our service.
Sorry, I was just going to add to that too, having actually previously helped a little bit with putting the brain boxes together. They are an amazing resource for people, and I know you've had some great feedback, haven't you, from people saying it's just what we needed.
We've had some amazing feedback from the brain boxes, and you know, for most people that's the first point of contact. You know, they get their diagnosis, they're really overwhelmed, it's really scary and really isolating, and to be able to find out that we exist, jump online, register to receive a brain box and have this wonderful care package arrive in the post. There's patient guides in there which provide a whole bunch of information from all different stages of your brain tumour journey. That information is really valuable when you go to appointments with your oncologist and your specialists, because there's questions that you don't know to ask, and those books have and the guides have got some really valuable questions in there that you can take to when you're having those specialist appointments, as well as really great information around how to keep yourself well and to make sure that you're supported and the people that are supporting you are supported. There's a bunch of other beautiful care items in there, drink bottles, wheat packs, calming oils, and of course our beanies, which is one of our signature flagship kind of initiatives that we have at Brain Tumor Support.
Yeah, it'd be really great. Later on, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the fundraising initiatives you have, and obviously the Brainy Beanies, and going to be out at Mystery Creek again this year.
We're heading down to Christchurch next week. The Beanies are making their debut down at the Arts Centre there. Perfect city and, you know, perfect location to host those. And then, of course, field days again outside the Health Hub. We've got a giant stand with all of our beautiful beanies displayed for the public to have a look at and to buy.
Yes, and I've got a couple myself, so totally endorse them. They're great, and you can get all different colours, all different sizes, all different sort of shapes. There's some really creative people out there who have come up with some awesome ideas of what a beanie actually could look like.
Absolutely. I mean, last year we received over 2,500 beanies donated to us from all around the country. And you know what has been amazing, Roseanne, with this is that it's more than just a fundraiser for us. It's become a connector of communities. So, you know, the activity groups at rest homes, groups of you know, knitters and creators have come together. Some have had amazingly personal stories that surround why they want to create for us and why they want to donate. But you know what, I guess is just an amazing, wonderful sense of community. And for us, it's gone above and beyond just a fundraiser for us. You know, the funds raised from Brainy Beanies and also from Brain Tumor Awareness Month all go towards funding the brain boxes, because we send them out for free, so they obviously needed to be, you know, they need to be funded somehow. Like a lot of the smaller not-for-profits, we don't have any government funding. We, you know, we rely completely on donations and fundraising.
And such a critical mahi that you do out there, you know, supporting, you know, people and their whānau that are going through, you know, with a brain tumour. It is a shame that we, these, you know, all these various types of advocacy groups don't get any government funding, because it's critical, isn't it?
It is, it is. You know, and as I guess, you know, I've been in this role now for nearly 18 months, and I see my role very much as a bridge builder. You know, every day I work to connect people across sectors, specialities and stories. I get to listen. I get to listen to patients who feel unseen, to families who feel lost, and to clinicians who want to do more. And I get to act. I get to champion change. I get to build relationships and partnerships and ensure that the voices of those we serve are heard in the spaces that matter, you know, and it's a role I'm deeply passionate about, and I'm really lucky that I get to work alongside a, you know, a small but really dedicated team.
And I think just picking up on what you said before about, you know, who are we and what we do, I mean, you know, obviously there's the practical support that you do provide, the information, the patient guides, but I think most critically it is that creating that community, isn't it?
It sure is. You know, what we've found, I guess, as the organisation has developed over the years, you know, and we're coming up sort of nearly 7 years old now, so we're not brand new, but we are also a very new charity, I guess, in comparison to some of the others out there, is that we know that our community are connected, I guess, by engaging and having conversations and being able to gain knowledge and insight from others who have been through similar experiences. So our online support groups, we run 5 of those a month. They are a safe and comfortable place to be able to share, to be able to talk to others about what you're going through, get some, you know, helpful pieces of information. But we also connect people together through our Support Friends program, because, you know, you're going through a journey with a tumour and you might want to connect with someone else who has been through that similar experience or going through it at the same time. You know, being able to talk about what it feels like for you, just to be kind of to validate some of the feelings that you have, because it is pretty isolating out there, and the information that you get from the medical and health professionals, whilst it's really great, it's not always delivered in a way that is easy to understand and to digest. Mm-hmm. And when you have that diagnosis, it turns your world upside down. You know, there's no coming back from it, there's no going back from it. And I think that being able to kind of demystify some of the language around it and connect with others, I've really not seen how powerful that is to our community.
Yeah. And with it being Brain Tumour Awareness Month, obviously critical time for you to get that messaging out there.
Absolutely.
And just picking up on you talking about No Going Back, and obviously that's the name of your fundraising platform.
It is.
That you have, and obviously looking at trying to encourage people to support Brain Tumour Support Trust and people with brain tumours. Obviously, there's a lot of different fundraising ideas that you've put up on your amazing website, which for everyone is www.braintumoursupport.org.nz, if I'm correct.
You are correct.
Oh,
but there's
good.
Also the nogoingback.nz site, which
right.
is also on our website. So that's our main fundraising platform, and that offers people the opportunity to either create their own fundraiser, it's a peer-to-peer fundraising platform, or they could go on there and support others that have set up fundraisers. You can donate through that site, and you can also buy a beanie through that site. So it's a one-stop shop for all of the brain tumour support messaging there. But I think, you know, the main purpose, I guess, around Brain Tumour Awareness Month is to be able to start those conversations and to share those stories. And, you know, if you're in a position to be able to donate and to support us, you know, every little bit makes a difference. And I think that, you know, in the current environment where it is really tough for people out there, and I know that it is not always easy for people to spare that little bit extra, but, you know, I mean, you could be next. Imagine, you know, brain tumours, they don't discriminate.
No, and when I was reading through your website, I was actually quite surprised that brain tumours are the actual leading cause of cancer death in people under 40.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
That's
a pretty sad statistic, really.
It is, isn't it? So I think that's where we need to be a lot more aware. About you know, the potential, you know, if it's not yourself, someone within your own whānau or close-knit friends.
Absolutely. So, yeah, no going back is a way to be able to jump on, you know, even making a contribution towards funding a brain box means that we can reach more people and we can send more of these amazing support services out to the people that need it.
So if someone has, or one of their whānau has just been recently diagnosed with a brain tumour, how do they get in touch with you and then that the support that is there?
So if you just jump onto our website and you register for a brain box, there's a few little questions that we ask you. We send you out a brain box, and then our support navigator, Kim, will make contact with you and send you out a list of all the other different services and supports that we offer, and then that starts the conversation. So it's a fairly simple, straightforward process. You don't have to share too much about yourself if you don't want to. There's a bit of basic information that we need. But the brain box is generally the first point of contact into our support.
Right, okay. And unfortunately, you know, we do have, you know, some young people, you know, our children that have also been diagnosed with brain tumours. And I know you do, you know, tailor the boxes, don't you, for our young people. And I think there's some of your patient guides are specifically targeted for young people and their whānau.
Absolutely. So we have a dedicated Brain Tumour Kids website, actually, which you can find through our main site, but it also has its own website, www.braintumoursupportkids.org.nz. And you are right, yes, we tailor the brain boxes to children, and so we include a bunch of toys in there, some children orientated kind of activity packs, but there's also the supporting students and education patient guide. So that's been put together in the last couple of years in conjunction with the Ministry of Education and the specialist teams at Starship and down in Christchurch. And what that does is that enables schools and other education professionals the ability to understand what an impact a brain tumour might have on a child returning to school. So things like fatigue, short-term, long-term memory, that kind of thing, and then they will tailor, it gives them opportunity and some techniques, I guess, and ways that they can support students returning to school.
Sounds like an awesome little pack there for whānau to be able to, I suppose, access. Yeah. And to utilise and also too around the getting back into school.
Absolutely. I mean, going, you know, back into school is a big thing for students, and, you know, I mean, it's a big thing for adults as well. But I think for students, you know, they want to feel connected and part of their peer group. But there will be impacts on that, you know, impacts around fatigue and impacts around, you know, if you're still having ongoing chemo treatment, there'll be some things that you won't be able to do like the other kids can do. And you don't want to feel alienated and ostracised in that space. So, you know, we're able to offer some information around how to help and support that in that environment.
Yes, and I think if I was a teacher or, you know, part of the management of a school, I think it would be great. You know, you can't be expected to know everything, can you? And to have some resources readily available for them to be able to work through and look at how they can, you know, create the right setting. Yeah. For the young people, you know, trying to come back into that school life.
That's correct. And, I mean, some of our work that we want to further develop in the coming years is look at support for end-of-life care. It's a really underfunded but also under-supported environment. So looking at what people might want to have in place if they need to look at that end-of-care part of their journey, and it is quite confronting, that space to be in. So we want to be really, you know, gracious and mindful of what that is like for people, but also offer tailored supports around that, and also to look at supporting caregivers. You know, caregiver fatigue in this space is a huge challenge and it's a huge issue. Mm-hmm. And it's often the person who has the diagnosis that gets huge amounts of support, but it's the carer, the caregivers, whether that be whānau or spouse or partner or friend, that has an intense impact on their health and physical and mental well-being. And so we really want to develop, you know, a caregiver-specific brain box, but also caregiver-specific supports that we can tap into, whether it be counselling sessions, massage, you know, that kind of stuff, to make sure that the people that are caring have their bucket full, I guess, to be able to carry on with that high-intensity support that they need to give.
Yes, and unfortunately for most, it's 24/7, isn't it? It doesn't stop. You know,
no.
It's every day. It's all through the day and night. And you know, you hear the story around, you know, put the oxygen mask on yourself before others. However, in reality, it doesn't quite work like that, does it?
You're quite right. You know, and you know, there's that whole adage: you can't fill from an empty cup. But sometimes there isn't much choice.
Mm.
The cup is often always empty. So, yep. Well, I guess we want to be able to offer a little bit of filling of the cup, I guess,
yep.
So that, you know, these people have the strength and resilience to carry on with this, because for some people this journey is lifelong.
Mm. Yes, I can imagine. Yes, it's not something that's just going to turn off like a tap, is it?
No, I mean, some people have amazing outcomes and some people don't. Mm. And you know, that's the confronting and sad reality, I guess, of living with a brain tumour.
Yes, I can totally understand that. All right, so what have we asked? What have we got coming up? What's on the horizon? I know we briefly talked about heading off to Christchurch next week.
Yes.
You've got something happening down there.
Yeah, so we're exhibiting probably about 800 to 1,000 beanies at the Arts Centre for the week. So prior to that, we've got a neuro-oncology conference, and then we are obviously exhibiting the beanies. So if you are in Christchurch next week, pop in and see us and have a look at our display. And then after that, we'll be preparing for field days. So we'll have the field days, beanies at field days, and then...
Does that also mean, you know, making sure you've got your gumboots, making sure you've got your big woolly coats, you've got your scarves. Obviously, you're going to have your beanie.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you know, so we're just getting the teams together. If anyone has got some time and they want to volunteer to give us a few hours at the field days, then you can get in touch and we can give you a few hours, you get a free ticket, so it's all good.
Yes, because there's, you know, if people are sort of looking at how else can we support, we might not be able to support from a financial perspective.
Yeah.
However, it sounds like, you know, there's opportunities there to volunteer, whether that is at field days itself. And I'm just trying to remember the days of field days. 11th to 14th, thank you. I know it's always a Wednesday to a Saturday, yeah, around that second week of June, out at Mystery Creek. So if anyone is interested in helping out, even if it's just one day or half a day, just to go onto the website and find Sarah's contact details and send her an email or give her a call.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think I also wanted to acknowledge the people that have chosen to support us with creating the beanies this year. You know, we have great support from the Waikato and the communities around the region that, you know, put the beanies together from their community groups and then send them in to us, or we collect them. Likewise, we have them from all around the country. But, you know, what started off as a few people creating beanies, as I said before, you know, it's created this amazing community. And I think, you know, the activity centres at the rest homes are a good testament to that, because, you know, that these ladies like to come together and create for a good cause. So, you know, the beanies, because the weather hasn't been super cold as yet, it was a bit slow to start, but now they're ramping up and they're arriving at my home in droves, boxes and boxes of them. So just wanted to, thank everyone in the Waikato, if you're listening to and you have created for us, thank you very, very much, because it means such a lot. And it is so beautiful reading the stories and seeing these beanies and the talent that comes with that.
Yeah, and I know on your website you've got a little slogan there when buying a brandy beanie, and it talks about every beanie is created with love by someone who cares for someone who will be very grateful.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's the tagline, I guess, that goes with the beanies. And you can buy a beanie online as well. We have an online store where you can purchase them. There's lots of ways to choose to support us. And, you know, we've talked about a few today, but jump on our website and have a look and, reach out to us if we can be of support.
And I think for those that want to know a little bit more about brain tumours, or maybe how they can support, especially during the Brain Tumour Awareness Month, having a look at all of the great information that is on the Brain Tumour Support Trust website. That's great. We've still got a few more minutes to go, Sarah. So what else can we share with anyone who is listening out there? Maybe is there any other statistics you have, or any other, you know, sort of key messaging that maybe we could share across with everyone out there?
We could talk a little bit about what we actually do, like what are our core services, if you like, because that might be relevant to people that are thinking, oh yes, you know, someone in my community has been diagnosed. What is it that actually Brain Tumour Support can offer me, rather than me having to choose to support Brain Tumour New Zealand.
Totally. And look, you know, it may well be that some people are a little bit, you know, resistant to actually reaching out and making that phone call or you know, sending that email. And it might be that as a caring friend or a caring neighbour that you might reach out to Brain Tumour Support Trust on their behalf. Absolutely. So, yeah, look, if maybe we could just talk a little bit more about this, you know, what it is that you do, support. And I know advocacy is a key part of that too, isn't it?
It is, you know, and we're really lucky that we have a really connected and supportive board, and our board chair, Chris, he is our advocacy and research kind of person who is very active in that space, advocating for better treatments, for better access to medication and better research. And, you know, it's with those things that we'll be able to make some really good inroads into making sure that we're not left behind in New Zealand. There are many countries that have much better funded access to medication than we do. And I think it's, you know, obviously due to our size, but also due to just, you know, cost and advocacy and cost per capita, I guess, of the numbers, I guess, of brain tumours diagnoses in New Zealand are small compared to other countries, but it is on the rise. You know, we are sending out on average about 20 to 30 brain boxes a month. Just this week I've done 9, so you know it is increasing. But, you know, we have, I guess our work is, you know, grounded in 3 pillars. And so we've got support, so peer-to-peer support, family guidance, first responder access, and then tailored resources to help people navigate their journey. We've got advocacy, so we engage with clinicians, policymakers, and researchers. And that hopefully will ensure better outcomes for all New Zealanders and equitable treatment pathways.
Mm-hmm.
We've got education and awareness, so we host support groups and forums. We foster knowledge sharing, community connection and collaboration, you know. So there's lots of core work that we do, and then, you know, lots, I guess, that we're really proud of, but we know that the journey is far from over and there's a lot more that we want to do. And, you know, I guess you've got to start somewhere.
You do, and taking into account that you are a very small team, it's, you know, I know there's yourself and Kim as your navigator. You've got an amazing, you know, board and some volunteers out there. However, that's it, isn't it? And with all of the mahi that you're currently doing, what you're trying to look to want to do in the future, I think it's just amazing what you are doing. And I know so much of it is with the heart.
Well, it is. I mean, you know, everyone that works within our organisation either has lived experience of brain tumours, and, you know, for me, with that personal lived experience through my daughter, that's, I guess, what, you know, I do this job with heart. You know, I'm, as I said before, I'm deeply passionate about it, and it's a role I don't take lightly because I know I'm very privileged to be in this space.
All right. Hey, look, that is actually now going to bring us to the end of the show. So thank you very much for that key message in particular and for everything else around Brain Tumour Support Trust. So
that's wonderful, Roseanne. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ka kite.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.